and welcome to another episode of
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Hello, I'm Reza.
And I'm Craig. And if you are a new listener to this podcast, you're very, very welcome. If you are a return listener, hello again. As you know, Reza and I have been teaching now for over 40 years. We've been teaching English, and the aim of this podcast, the idea is to help you improve your English and take it up to the next level. In this episode, Reza, what are we going to speak about?
We're going to talk about dependent prepositions, specifically verbs followed by prepositions. That's coming up later.
Actually, we've decided to do three episodes around prepositions because we get lots of emails and lots of feedback from you asking for help with prepositions. So we're going to divide up prepositions that go together with verbs, prepositions that go together with adjectives, and prepositions that go together with nouns. And each of the next three episodes will be looking at one of those. And we hope by looking at the common collocations and prepositions, we'll be able to help you remember and improve your prepositions in English. But before that, I think we have some feedback. Who's the feedback from this week?
Yes, we have some feedback. We have an audio from Maria from Barcelona. So shall we play that?
Yep, here's Maria.
Hello, my name is Maria and I live in Barcelona. At the first, congratulations for the podcast. You're helping a lot of people to improve the English and it's very kindly for your part. The reality is that all jobs require or request to spoken English. Every day I hear one of your audio and improve my pronunciation. The podcast about customer service especially liked because it serves for all segments or sector of work. Thank you and have a nice day. Bye.
Well, first of all, thank you, Maria, for sending us your voice message. We always love to get voice messages from you. Thank you, Maria, for your compliments. Reza, what did you think? Did Maria make any mistakes in her message?
Well, Maria, that was very clear and easy to understand. But you did make a couple of mistakes. Perhaps we'll just point them out to help you. I think you should have started by saying, first of all, not at the first, you said, first of all, you meant.
She could also say firstly.
Yes, first of all, or firstly.
Or to begin.
Mm-hmm. Also, thank you very much for wishing us your congratulations. But I think you should have said congratulations on. You didn't say on. We'll be talking more about that in the next podcast when we have the next few podcasts when we have nouns plus prepositions. So congratulations is a noun and it goes with the preposition on. Congratulations on.
And two things about pronunciation, Maria. Podcasts. It's quite difficult for Spanish speakers because of the consonant clusters, the groups of consonants that come together. It's quite difficult sometimes for Spanish speakers to say words like crisps and papas, because crisps has the S, the P, and the S. And it's a bit similar with podcasts, because you have the S and the T and the S together. So listen carefully and repeat. Podcasts. Podcasts. And one other word, customer. It's C-U-S, but it's not read or pronounced in the same way as you would read it in Spanish. Cu. It's pronounced ka, ah. So customer, customer.
Another thing you said, Maria, which is very true, all jobs require a level of English these days, it seems, in Spain. All jobs require. But I think you said require and request. No, I wouldn't say request because they're not the same thing. Jobs require English. That means English is a necessity. To request is to ask for something. For example, imagine there's a live singer and he says, are there any special requests? And someone says, yes, would you please sing my favorite song? That's a request. So it's not the right word here. You're talking about requirements. Require is not the same as request.
But it's true that it's very useful to help people who are not native speakers in their work. And Maria, if you have any special vocabulary or grammar that is particularly used in your job, in your work, please let us know. Please tell us. We're very, very happy to do specific podcast episodes to try and help you with your work.
We're glad you liked our podcast on customer services. Thanks very much.
Now, prepositions, a dependent preposition. It's a preposition that always follows the same expression. For example, we generally say interested in something. We don't say interested on or interested about, for example. So these dependent prepositions that we're going to look at in the next three episodes are prepositions that like to go together with particular verbs, adjectives, and nouns.
Craig, would you say there's much logic to the choice of preposition?
No, I think it's a bit of a lottery.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very, very difficult because sometimes they're the same as Spanish, sometimes they're different. And I think the best advice we can give, which is why we're doing these episodes, is to try and learn the prepositions together with the words. Mm-hmm. Try to learn them as chunks, o sea, trozos of language, and not independently of each other. So let's begin with looking at verbs which like to go with the preposition for.
Let's start with apologize for. You apologize for doing something wrong. For example, he apologized for being late, or Reza apologized for being late.
Actually, you apologized for being late today, didn't you?
Yes, I was late today.
Only 10 minutes, but yeah. You said, I'm sorry for being late.
Yeah. Or you could say, I apologized to Craig. He's the person that I apologized to. So you apologize for something, or you apologize to someone. Craig, what's the next verb you've got?
Apply. For example, to apply for a job. So apply is similar to ask, and you ask for something, and you apply for something. So those two verbs are quite similar in meaning. Do you think apply is a bit more formal than ask? Because you tend to apply for permission, you apply for a job. Perhaps it's more formal.
Yes, a little bit more formal, but it's appropriate to use that more formal expression at times. When you apply for a job, it's best to say, I'm applying for a job. It's not good to say, I'm asking for a job. It's too informal.
Yeah, so you can apply. What other things can you apply for? You can apply for a grant, una beca, mm-hmm. an Erasmus grant. You can apply for a driving license. Mm-hmm. You can apply for a passport. Those formal things, and ask for. So you ask for things. Reza, how do you ask for a coffee in French?
Je voudrais un café, s'il vous plaît.
Muy bien.
Ah, impressed, eh?
Impressionante.
I recently got my certificate. I'm officially a B1 French student. I passed B1.
Congratulations. Yay. I didn't know. When did that happen?
I got my certificate a few weeks ago.
Well done. Well, the French congratulations on passing B1.
Merci.
Another verb that collocates with for is pay. You pay for something. Is that the same in Spanish? Pagar?
No.
There's no preposition.
Exactly. This is why you should
pagar un café.
Claro. Who's paying for the beers?
Yeah.
¿Quién está pagando las cervezas? No preposition in Spanish. So you see, it's very dangerous to try and look for a fixed translation of a preposition because it changes. Sometimes there isn't even a preposition in Spanish and we have one in English. Or vice versa.
So don't translate. Don't try to translate from Spanish to English because it's too dangerous. You'll probably be wrong. So it's pay for something.
You can also say I'll pay for a person. For example, I'll pay for you. That means I'll pay for what you've consumed. Imagine I have three beers and Craig has three beers. So six beers. I'm going to pay for the six beers. So I say to Craig, I'll pay for you.
Te invito.
That's pay for a person. Not I'll pay you. That's different. If I say to you, I'll pay you, that means I'm going to give you money. For example, my boss pays me 800 euros a month. He gives me money for my work. There's no preposition with that meaning of pay.
So I can say the British Council, we work for the British Council. The British Council pay us. But the students, our students, pay for lessons at the British Council.
Exactly.
So you pay for a lesson, but the company pays you, your salary.
Another meaning of pay for something is to pay for something that you shouldn't have done. Imagine I say to someone, you've insulted me in public. You'll pay for that. You'll pay for that. That means I'm going to take revenge on you. You shouldn't have done that. And there's a price to pay. That's to pay for something as well.
But not the literal price, maybe not money, but you'll pay for doing that. You'll regret it.
Exactly.
You'll pay for that in some way. And another verb that goes with the preposition for is wait, esperar. So to wait for something. For example, I'll wait for you outside the cinema. Reza, when was the last time you waited for someone?
Last night.
Really?
I was going out with a group of students to have a meal, and one of the students was about an hour late, so we all had to wait for her before we started. And Alice, if you're listening, we were starving, but we did wait, didn't we?
That's a long time to wait for someone, isn't it? An hour.
Yeah, but we didn't enjoy the food when eventually we could eat it.
Remember, with these prepositions in connected speech, they're very often weak. So you don't hear, I waited for, was it Alice?
Alice.
I waited for Alice. What we probably say is, I waited for Alice. For Alice. So it's a for. I waited for him, I waited for her. It's a very weak sound.
Craig, let's move on to the next preposition. We've got about. Any good verb preposition combinations with about?
Well, there's worry. Worry, to worry about something. I could say, don't worry about it. No te preocupes. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. You worry about things. It's very common. Are you worrying about anything at the moment?
No, not really. I'm quite happy. It's the summer, so there's not much to worry about.
Life in Valencia is quite laid back, isn't it? It's quite relaxing. We don't worry about many things. We have the beach. We have good food. Any other verbs that go with about that come to mind?
Yes, a few more. For example, if you're not happy with life, you might complain about something. Mm-hmm. Have you complained about anything recently, Craig?
I complained about... Actually, I complained about the coffee I had a couple of days ago in the centre of Valencia. It was really, really bad coffee. Mm-hmm. And I complained about it. I said, can you make it stronger? Mm-hmm. It was very weak. It was one of those coffees that people make without caring, with all the coffee in the saucer and really horrible, too much milk there. So I complained about it, and the girl was very nice and she made me another cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. So at least you didn't argue about it.
No, we didn't argue, which is another verb that goes with about. So you argue about something. I can't remember the last time I argued with someone about something. Can you remember?
No.
An argument you had?
No, I don't argue that much these days about important things anyway.
What are some things that people tend to argue about? They argue about politics. They argue about religion sometimes.
Men and women who live together, should you have the toilet seat up or down in the bathroom? Oh, no, that's worth arguing about.
The old argument, yeah. What's your opinion?
Well, it's quite easy for me. I live on my own, so it's up all the time. But I'm happy to live with the toilet seat down. If I am living with a woman, I'm happy to have it down.
I never saw the argument there, because it's just as easy for the woman to leave the toilet seat up as the man to leave it down. It's kind of 50-50, isn't it?
Yeah. Women's prerogative. Isn't that what they say? Women get to choose. Right? Fair enough.
I think we'll be having some emails about that.
Now, Craig, you know a lot about English. You also know a lot about Mickey Mouse.
I know a little about Mickey Mouse.
A lot, I would say.
I don't know him personally. I haven't met him.
Yeah.
Although I found out an interesting thing about Walt Disney yesterday. Walt Disney used to work for a newspaper, and he got sacked. He got fired because the editor said he had no imagination.
Really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
He got sacked from his job. He lost his job because the editor of the newspaper said, you're not good for our paper. You have no imagination. You have no creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And they sacked him.
You see, that's an example of what I said. Craig knows a lot about Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney and all that. That means he has lots of information, although he doesn't know Mickey Mouse personally. So if you know someone, no preposition. But to know about a theme or topic, he's an expert.
If I said to you, what's the thing, what one thing do you know a lot about, what would you choose? I know you know a lot about music.
A fair bit, but there's people who know a lot more than me.
You know a lot about English.
Yeah, I like to think I know quite a lot about English grammar. I'm quite proud of that. Quite a lot. Yeah. But I make mistakes. We all do sometimes. Nobody's perfect.
What a boring world it would be if we were all perfect. Let's move on to the preposition from. So which verbs come to mind with the preposition from?
Well, for example, we've got protect from.
Mm-hmm.
You could say this spray should protect you from mosquitoes. Craig, do you use anything to protect your skin from the sun?
When I go out in the sun at the beginning of the summer, I usually wear sun cream to protect myself from the sun. And then usually I'm okay. Like, I don't have to wear sun cream every time because I'm not blonde, I'm not fair skinned. But usually the first couple of times, I usually put cream on to protect myself from the sun. What about you?
Yes, I'm the same. I use sun cream, particularly at the beginning of the summer, and then perhaps towards the end, not so much because my skin's getting used to it. Yeah.
And during the summer in Valencia, there's quite a lot of mosquitoes. Do you use anything to protect yourself from mosquitoes?
Yes, not when I'm out and about, not in the streets and thing, but at home, at night when I sleep, I plug in a mosquito plug.
What's plug in?
A plug in is enchufar. So there's a plug, you know, an enchufe, and you put it in the wall with a little tablet in it, and the tablet gives off a smell with some chemical that the mosquitoes don't like. And I find it works. It does keep them away. Mm-hmm. Do you use one?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I just go around with a spray, you know, mm-hmm. and try to kill them.
Okay.
Another verb that goes with from is recover. Recuperar. So to recover from an illness, for example. What other things can people recover from?
You can recover from a hangover. If you've drunk too much alcohol, or you can recover from a shock.
Mm-hmm. You could recover from a divorce or a breakup. If you've had a relationship breakup, for example, that's something you'd recover from. Let's see if the listeners remember the phrasal verb for recover from. Get over. Remember that one?
Uh-huh,
to get
yes,
over an illness or get over a shock or get over a divorce. Or a breakup, for example. Are there any other verbs that you can think of for the preposition from?
Yes, suffer from.
Right.
So, for example, recently Craig suffered from a problem with a boil. Do you remember?
Yep. I suffered from a nasty, painful boil on my neck.
Yes, you remember. But now you have recovered from it.
Yep.
It's gone.
I've recovered from it. Have you heard the expression to suffer from a sticky mattress?
I haven't. No, what does it mean?
It's when you're really, really lazy.
Ah.
So you just want to lay down. You don't get up. You just, you're, really, you don't feel like doing anything. Okay. So if I said my brother-in-law suffers from a sticky mattress, mattress is colchón. It's a way of saying he doesn't like working.
I understand it now, yeah. So like he's stuck to the mattress. He can't get off the mattress.
Okay. He suffers from a sticky mattress. Let's move on to in. So now we're looking at verbs that go together with the preposition in. Can you think of any?
Yes, to get in, for example, it's hard to get in the local golf club. They don't accept many new members. Not mm-hmm. easy to get in, not easy to become a member, to be accepted, to join a club.
Mm-hmm. To be admitted to, yeah, to get in. It's hard to get in. Sometimes it's hard to get in a nightclub in some cities. Very famous night spots and clubs are exclusive, and it's hard to get in unless you know somebody.
Craig, do you believe in life after death?
No.
No. So Craig doesn't believe in life after death. It's not a belief that he holds. He's not religious in that sense.
Do you believe in it?
I'm not sure. I haven't quite made up my mind yet.
You can say the jury's out on that one. The jury's out, undecided. So believe in is another common collocation.
Mm. It's not the same as believe, is it? If you think someone's telling the truth, you believe them. You don't use the preposition in.
So in that case, it's believe plus object. I believe you.
Exactly. But if I said to my wife, oh, you know, I love you more than anything. What's more, I believe in you. That means I have trust and confidence in you.
I have faith in you. Tengo fe.
Exactly. So believe in is not the same as just belief. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You believe in God or not. That means you believe he exists, you have to. You don't believe God. I mean, that's stupid because to say, oh, I believe God, implies that, well, otherwise he might be lying.
Unless he's speaking to you.
But God doesn't lie, you know, does he? So you can't say you believe God. You can only say that you believe in God or not.
Another verb is specialize, to specialize in something. For example, I could say Reza and I specialize in creating podcasts. We haven't said this, very, very important, Reza. When you have a verb after a preposition, it's a gerund. For example, to believe in living, to believe in doing something, to specialize in creating, to specialize in developing, to specialize in working. So whatever verb you use after preposition, make sure it's a gerund.
For any preposition. So Craig has given examples within, but what about apologize? He apologized. We said he apologized for being late, being. So after any preposition, for, about, from, in, of, on, to, with, at, through, etc. After any preposition, if you use a verb, it must be ing form. That's a good rule because there are no exceptions.
Exactly. Complain about making too much noise. Argue about doing the dishes. Worry about having enough money. So all of the verbs after prepositions are gerunds.
Craig, would you agree that you have to work hard if you want to succeed in life?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. There's it's no such thing as overnight successes. You have to work hard for a long time to succeed in anything, really.
So there's another combination, the verb succeed plus in.
But here it's just a noun. So if it's just a noun, don't worry about the grammar. Succeed in life or succeed in work or succeed in anything.
Okay. What about of? Got any good ones with the preposition of?
There's approve of. My parents approved of my friends, or my parents didn't approve of my friends. My parents approved of my wife, for example.
Does that mean aprobar?
No.
It doesn't, does it? That's a false friend. Aprobar is pass, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He aprobado el examen. I've passed the exam, but to approve means you accept them as okay.
So in Spanish, approve can be dar el visto bueno, no?
Yes, exactly. Not really aprobar. Mm-hmm. Aprobar is pass.
What other verbs do we have for of?
For example, smell of something. For example, this t-shirt smells of sweat. Or what does the beach this, smell of?
This t-shirt definitely smells of sweat. And the flat smells of fish because we've just cooked fish for lunch.
It's a beautiful smell, may I say.
What does your area of Valencia smell of? What does Russafa smell of this time of year?
Russafa is a very popular neighborhood these days. So it smells of hipsters, bohemians, tourists, and gunpowder and fires.
Smells of fireworks and gunpowder. And think of is another common collocation, to think of. For example, I'm thinking of the good times we had when we went to London. I'm thinking of the trip we had last month.
There's a joke about men and women and the verb think. What's the difference between a man and a woman?
What's the difference between a man and a woman? Physically, you mean?
No, with the verb think.
The verb think. I don't know. Tell me.
Men only care what you think. Women only care what you're thinking about. Is the joke. Do you get it?
Yeah, no.
Or what you're thinking of. I could translate it in Spanish. A los hombres solo les importa qué piensas. A las mujeres solo les importa en qué estás pensando. You get it in Spanish?
Yeah, I'm getting it now. Okay. Yeah,
it's a very, very, very female, a very kind of wife or girlfriend thing to ask the boyfriend or husband, what are you thinking of? Or you can also say, what are you thinking about? But husbands don't ask that. Husbands ask, what do you think of, what do you think of Formula One? Do you like it? Yes or no? But yeah. They don't ask you what you're thinking about or thinking of right now. They don't care. That's a joke.
That's quite true. A bit of a stereotype, yeah. But it could be true.
And not the best joke in the world. Let's move swiftly on.
Let's move on to on. Yes. So one verb we could use with on is base, to base something on something or to base on something. For example, can you think of any films that were based on the book?
Yes, many, 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 many. For example, The Jungle Book.
Do you know that was the first one that came into my mind?
One of my favorite films.
There are many. The Godfather. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any more?
Ooh, lots. 50% of films ever made.
Yeah, based on books. Yeah. Or based on true stories sometimes. Concentrate on is another common collocation. When there's music playing in the background or if the TV is on, I can't concentrate on any work. I find it impossible to concentrate on something if there's background noise. Are you the same?
Yes.
Another collocation, to agree on something or to agree about something. Why don't we agree on this subject for the next podcast, for example? Mm-hmm. Or what should we agree about for the color we're painting the bathroom, for example? To agree on something or agree about something. One thing about agree, remember that it's a verb and not an adjective, because a common mistake for Spanish speakers is to say, I'm agree. No, it's I agree or I don't agree. So I agree on this subject, or I don't agree. Anything else, Reza?
Earlier, Maria congratulated us on our podcast. Congratulate someone on.
Yeah, so you can congratulate someone on doing something. For example, I congratulate you on your podcast. I congratulate you on your promotion, on your wedding, on your birthday, etc.
Craig, have you decided on what you're doing for Christmas?
No, I haven't. I haven't decided on anything at the moment. It's still a bit early. It's only July. What about you? Have you decided on what you're doing?
I haven't decided yet. Mm. So you decide on something. Craig, what kind of music do you like to listen to?
I like to listen to jazz. I like to listen to some classical occasionally. I really like listening to rap and hip-hop music. And I've been listening recently to some ambient, easy listening kind of background drum and bass music and very soft kind of Ibiza type music. With Listen Remember 2, we've had that many times in emails and your voice messages that you forget the preposition to with listen. So it's listen to plus object. I know you like listening to classical as well and some jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Virtually everything except rap. Don't really like rap.
Really?
So we don't agree on that.
We don't agree on rap.
Yep.
But do you listen to country and western?
Don't really like that much
no,
either.
Me neither.
But I think I'd rather listen to it than rap.
What don't you like about rap? Just curious.
Mostly the words.
Uh-huh.
But also the find the style just very repetitive. But it's the words. I mean, I won't say the words because then we're going to get an X rating on our podcast.
So it's the swearing you don't like?
Yeah, it's the unnecessary swearing. I've no problem with swearing, but if with rap, it's so affected. They swear because the formula is you swear and rap. Big deal. Doesn't impress me.
That's interesting. I disagree. I think it's poetry that comes from the street, and I think it's street language. It's not language that's been adapted for music. So maybe
have you ever taken out a gun and held it to someone's head?
No, but many
but
of
don't but, they but, often do that in rap songs?
But many of the rappers have done that or have had that done to them.
So poetry from the street, it doesn't really reflect my daily life. I don't want to hold a gun to someone's head or be involved in managing a prostitution ring. So it doesn't really speak to me. Am I being a bit exaggerated about it?
I think we'll agree to disagree.
There you go.
I'll have to play you some more softer, mellow rap to try and bring you round to my way of thinking. Yeah. I have to work on you with rap. I think you'll like it if you get into it. Let's look at one more to introduce someone to.
Are you going
to
introduce someone. Me to the world of rap?
I will introduce you gradually, softly and gently to some rap music that I think you might like that does not have swearing in it.
Okay. So you can introduce someone to someone or to something.
Yeah.
Craig's
yeah.
going to introduce me to rap.
Yeah. In fact, you've introduced me to some really good food. You've introduced me to music in the past.
Uh-huh.
And you've introduced me to some very nice people.
And I agree with most things Craig says, but not about rap. Agree with is another verb with preposition. So Craig and I, I agree with Craig about most things, but not about rap. I'm afraid I could argue with Craig about rap. You argue with someone.
So you agree with them and you argue with them. So both those contrary verbs use with. We said before, didn't we? You can with agree. You can agree on something, mm-hmm. or agree about something, but you agree with a person. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. Or I disagree with you. Or I don't agree with you.
What about at? Let's take at as one more preposition. Craig, what was the last thing you laughed at?
The last thing I laughed at was yesterday I was watching videos on YouTube and there's a very funny comedian called Stephen Lee. Have you heard of him?
Yep.
And I really like his sense of humor. He really makes you think. And he analyzes the audience and, oh, you're laughing over there. You thought that was funny. I really like his style as a comedian. He's very, very different. It's stand-up comedy and it makes me laugh. So I laughed at Stephen Lee. I laughed at his videos yesterday. Look at, as well, is a common codification. Reza, what are you looking at the moment?
I'm looking at you.
You're looking at me?
Yeah. You're looking at me? Are you looking at me?
Where's that from? You remember?
It's from some film, isn't it? Yeah.
It's Robert De Niro, Taxi Driver.
You looking at me? You looking at me? Yeah.
At the end of the film, he's looking in the mirror. He's got the guns. He goes, you looking at me? I'm looking at you. Yeah? You looking at me? So that's looking at. And one more. Smile at is another common collocation. To smile at someone. So if you want to make yourself feel better, just try smiling at people in the street. next time you go out. You know, it's really strange. You can walk down the street. I've done this many times. And you look at somebody in the eyes and you smile at them. They will almost always smile back. And it's a really nice feeling. You don't know them. They think maybe they know you, but they're not sure. But the natural reaction is to smile at the person who's smiling. And I've done this many times. You should try it. You should try it today. Just go out in the street, smile at someone, and I bet you they will smile back at you. It's really, really funny.
Craig, we've mentioned already that certain verbs go with more than one preposition. For example, you argue with someone, but you argue about something.
Mm-hmm.
So you can combine. For example, apologize. I said earlier that I apologize to Craig. Why? For arriving late. So I apologize to a person and I apologize for something. So let's combine them. I apologized to Craig for being late.
So you've got the two prepositions together in the same sentence.
Both dependent on apologize.
With the object in the middle. Mm-hmm. So you apologize to me, then for is also connected to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're both dependent on apologize, yep.
You apologize to me for arriving late. Can you think of another example?
Yes, she didn't agree with her friends on the choice of restaurant, or we can say about the choice of restaurant as well. She didn't agree with her friends on or about the choice of restaurant.
What about this example? I complained about the faulty product to customer services. So I complained about something to someone. I complained about the product to customer services.
Or they argued with their friends about where to go on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So argue with a person about a theme.
The student apologized to the teacher for not doing the homework. So she apologized to me for not doing the homework. Apologized to and apologized for something.
So those were examples of one verb with two different dependent prepositions. Of course, you can use two different verbs, or three, or four, or five, or six, or whatever. Different verbs, each one with its own dependent preposition. Different dependent prepositions. Let me give you an example. I know about Tom congratulating Dick on getting the job.
Ooh, that sounds complicated.
But it isn't really. If you break it up, you know about something. That means you have knowledge, like Craig knows a lot about Mickey Mouse. And you congratulate someone on doing something, we said. So let's just stick it together. It's simple. I know about, what do you know about? Tom. Tom doing what? Tom congratulating Dick on getting the job. It's logical if you break it up.
True, but I can see one complication. For example, you've got, I know about Tom. You can't have you can't have the object before the preposition in the first example. So you can't say, I know Tom about. But in the second one, congratulating Dick, you can't say congratulating on Dick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sounds a bit strange.
Yeah.
So that's quite complicated. So it's, I know about Tom.
Yeah.
So it's subject, verb, preposition, object. I know about Tom. Uh-huh. Congratulating Dick on getting the job.
It is, isn't it? It's tricky.
But
it's a very common type of sentence.
It's very, very common, but it's, I can see problems there.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Maybe it's a bit easier. She listened to me asking for forgiveness and said nothing.
She listened to me asking for forgiveness and said nothing.
Because you listened to something. We said if you have an object, me, then you need the preposition to me.
And the verb is gerund because although it's not directly after the preposition, it's after the preposition. So she listened to me asking for forgiveness.
And you ask for something.
Here's another one. Bill didn't approve of us listening to our workmates' private phone conversations. Bill didn't approve of us listening to our workmates' conversations.
Logical, right?
Yep.
Approve of something. Dar el visto bueno. And listen to plus an object. So, yes, I know what you're thinking, and you're right. English has a lot of prepositions. Yes, it does. English uses a lot of prepositions in normal sentences.
If you're finding the verb subject object preposition after the object a little bit difficult to follow, one thing you could do is try our sponsor, Italki, and study a bit more profundamente, a bit deeper, with a personal one-to-one private teacher. If you go to Italki, you'll find native speakers who you can pay to give you one-to-one teaching over the internet using Skype. It's an affordable way to improve your English. It's convenient because you practice when you want to practice and have lessons. And if you'd like to find out more and also take advantage, that's aprovechar, take advantage of their special offer with Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. They're giving 100 free credits, which is more or less one free lesson, to each student who registers through our website. So for more information, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And Reza and I would like to thank Italki for sponsoring our podcast.
Well, that's it. Now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have a question for us? Do you have an idea for a future episode? If so, send us a voice message and tell us what you think at www.speakpipe.com/inglespodcast or send me an email at belfastreza@gmail.com or to Craig.
And you can send me an email to craig@inglespodcast.com. And if you'd like more detailed show notes, we're continuing with our Patreon program to raise money, to try and get some money for more detailed show notes for you. Go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/inglespodcast. And we'd like to say thank you to our lovely sponsors, who are Lara, Sara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran from IVMV, Jorge Jimenez, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel. Thank you very much for supporting us with Patreon. Reza, what's on next week's podcast?
Our next week's podcast will be looking at dependent prepositions with adjectives.
Excellent. So until then, it's goodbye from Reza.
And it's goodbye from Craig.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.